Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boo, boo, ba doo. This podcast, as always, is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. Today we'll be discussing Season 4, Episode 5, The Oracle of the Whispering Remains. Was that whispering sounds?
That's whispering remains.
How's it going, Sarah?
Good. How are you?
Good. We open this episode at Icarus Hall with 8 bodies.
Yes. Going over those 8 bodies on the sweet murder board, as Ryan referred to it in the first episode.
We've got the whole 5-person Drew crew here all putting their information in and recapping the audience on what they know. Ace shows up at the end to put in his 2 cents, and he and Nancy are awkward.
Yep. All right. So these 8 bodies we've got, starting from most recent, India Burnett, who died in 1998, Stephen Lai, who died in 1975, Dominic Redman, died in 1951, Ava Herrera, died in 1928, Victoria Lieb, died in 1905, Onias Carver in 1882, Coraline Monet 1859, and Nashua Kipp in 1831.
Okay, so there's not a clear time, like it's not the same number of years between all of them, but they're all like 20-ish to like 35-ish years apart.
Yeah, and they all died before the age of 30,
ooh, I think is what they said. I wonder if they... when one died, the next was born. Very like vampire slayery.
That could be.
Because with that age jump, or with that time gap between them, that it's all kind of, are any of them over 30?
Well, I don't know what year they, I didn't write down what year they were born.
Right, but they died under 30.
They were under 30.
Right, so if the gaps between them are under 30, then it could have been one dies and the next one's born.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my guess. That's my call. Somehow they're connected. One of them dies, the next one's born, and then, yeah, I don't know why or what the heck's happening, but...
Oh, is it going to be another, like, frozen heart killer? Like, so someone now is that, due to die?
Well, I said that a couple episodes ago, that one of our people is in danger.
Oh, I don't remember that. I always think that everyone's in danger, so...
Well, 1990...
it did red flag.
1998, our characters, our main characters wouldn't have been born yet.
We just found out Ace is a couple years older than Nancy.
It's going to be Ace again. He's a frozen heart killer. He was a frozen heart guy and this.
Oh, that sucks to be him.
Maybe it'll be Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
We're just throwing predictions at all. All right. Well, you heard it here first. One dies, the next is born, and we are worried for Tristan.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. I could be worried for Tristan. Yeah.
Why not? Okay. So Nancy shows up and Ace and her are awkward.
So now they move from Icarus Hall out into the woods where they found the bodies, and they are doing a great job of recapping everything, but it fits with them being so lost in all the details of the case. Like, it makes sense that they're going to talk it out to investigate. I don't know. I bought it that they weren't just telling us everything, that it was believable.
And even if it was necessary, like these moments of exposition are necessary at the beginning of episodes. But yes, it made sense that they were recapping, because when you're trying to solve something or you're trying to keep information straight, you repeat it. At least that helps my learning style.
Yeah, I agree.
Nancy is being very jumpy around Ace, and she tells him she appreciates him taking time to help me. I'm like, Nancy, he's trying to help the whole town.
Right.
This is not just you.
Mm-hmm. And she said that it's good to see him. And Bess is totally watching them in the background.
I love the way that was filmed with her between them.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously Nick and George care too, but Bess is the most invested in other people's business.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's George. No, is it George or Nancy that says, like, you have so much going on, how do you still have time to meddle?
I think that's George later.
Yeah. All right, so we also find out George missed early registration for classes, and she's stressing out over affording the late classes, and Bess suggests doing a fundraiser event at the Claw, which she immediately shuts down and says that George says, no, I don't take charity.
Nick takes a picture of the trail proving that the sludgy water had gone through there. So we're getting that storyline too. Everything's very tied in together. And he's very on top of this whole water situation. Checks out for his storyline.
Mm-hmm. And while he is working very hard on the case, Bess is working very hard at telling Nancy, hey, we're going to go ahead and throw this fundraiser.
Not only has she like fully bought into a fundraiser immediately, but she already has a theme. It's going to be singles night, the first one in Horseshoe Bay. She has zero chill.
Yeah. I love it. She's like, we're going to do the fundraiser night. And Nancy's like, here? Because she is so focused on the case. Like,
she thought it was going to be right then, right there.
And then she suggests that probably the woods is a better idea because then you can run away more easily when George finds out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bess tells Nancy that she should come to singles night, that there's going to be a room of available people who aren't cursed.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably a good direction to take her romances.
Oh, and then this is where Nancy tells Bess, ask her how she has time to meddle when she's busy defending the Historical Society and fighting off Chief Lovett.
I thought that was really funny. We had talked about, you'd mentioned Bess having like a time turner or something from Harry Potter because she's juggling so much. So I'm glad that the characters are also acknowledging that she is literally the most helpful constantly.
But it does make sense because she's like, my problems are adult and scary. Your guys' problems require a party. And it's
which
like,
is
yeah,
a little condescending.
It is. But in the scope of it, I think it makes sense. Like, yeah, she doesn't want to deal with her own issues. She's going to throw herself full-fledged into something else that will be more fun.
And helping other people is usually easier than helping yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so this is when the forest rangers start showing up. And so they take off and Bess steps in the mud, ruining her boot.
Her booty.
Ruining her booty.
And then takes off the booty to try to get unstuck and steps on a muddy tooth. So gross.
Yeah, and it has a weird occult symbol on it. And Nancy says, I can think of 8 mouths this could come out of.
8, 8, 8.
Okay, why isn't anyone concerned about Bess and treating her for being
tetanus
impaled by an occult tooth of the risen dead?
A muddy. Like, that's going to be affected regardless.
Right,
which
right.
Which is gross. So gross. I hated it. And then we get one of our favorite returning characters, Coroner Connor.
Yeah, Connor has the other teeth. And fortunately, he's waiting on the tooth glue before the bodies are reinterred. And so he has them all available to look at.
The level of sass he gives all of them in this. He tells Ace, here's some mentoring advice. Don't bring your friends who are into dead bodies into your work that is filled with dead bodies. He has no patience for this.
No. And I would just be like, excuse me, Coroner Connor. Do you not remember when they saved your son?
Yeah. And the entire town multiple times.
But whatever.
I mean,
he's going to be sassy.
He puts up with it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He knows what's going to. He could have taken the teeth with him. Like, he knows. Very important. We find out that Chief Lovett is blaming all of it on a dig and dump grave robber. Not bringing supernatural into this at all.
Even though she saw the truth and we saw her see the truth.
Yeah.
So Nancy asks him about the symbols in the teeth. And he says there was no carving going on here. They actually grew into the teeth. And he's about to take his lunch break and tells them to go talk to a dentist, which I thought was very funny.
Mm-hmm. And then we get the little moment from the trailer. He's like, as soon as I walk out that door, you're going to steal those teeth, aren't you?
Nancy just shrugs.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
He hands them to them and gives them a time frame. He's like, be back by 9 or Ace is fired, basically. Which I thought was funny, but also a good compromise.
Yeah, I think so.
He could have taken them with him.
Right.
But I don't want to eat lunch with a bag of teeth next to me.
No. What was your opinion on Nancy asking George to call her biological father?
Nancy isn't always the most sensitive to other people's feelings or needs when she's task focused, which is what makes her so good at her job, but also is a frustrating character trait. I like how quickly George figured it out because Nancy like paused and she's like, George, and she's like, nope. So I wasn't caught up yet because I forgot about the dentist dad. I got there quickly, right. But when George was saying nope, I'm like, what is she gonna ask you? did you have a different thought on it?
No, I had the exact same thing, that it was not sensitive and not caring about George. Even though things do work out, like, I thought it was a little rude, especially with how supportive George is being with her right now.
Yeah, that's a good call. Because family trauma, not, you know, you shouldn't force people to talk to family members if they don't want to, or if, like, you're never going to know as much as those other family members.
Mm-hmm.
So it was her just being like, this needs to be done. There's other dentists, Nancy. You could just go ask random dentists.
I do understand, like, because she was talking about him being discreet. If he was with George's mom, I mean, I don't know to the extent their relationship was, but I mean, her mom was very in tune with the supernatural and everything. So he would have a little bit of insight, I would think, and he would do whatever he could to keep it a secret.
That makes sense.
For George.
Yeah. And it was nice to get him back. He wasn't on my season 4 bingo card, so it was nice to get him, especially knowing this is the last season and they're going to kind of wrap some of this stuff up.
I love when he shows up at the Claw. He's there immediately. And he says, he calls Nancy the plucky sidekick that he read all about on the FanFan website.
FanFan!
He just bought a FanFan.
Can we make FanFans?
Of course we can make FanFans. And George is not having it. She's just like, show him the teeth.
She was so quick to get rid of him the entire episode. And I'm not sure about you, but for me, it took a couple times before I was like, oh, he is not leaving. He's here this whole episode. Mm-hmm. It almost got comical. I was like, he doesn't really need to be here anymore.
Right. I know. I was thinking that too. But he starts looking at the teeth and he's doing that. Nancy's drawing symbols. And then George gives Nancy an envelope from Ryan and it's just a whole bunch of cash.
Yeah, which comes back later. I didn't realize the first time I watched it. So Nancy's accepting an envelope of money from her dad. And then later there's a thing about an envelope of money from someone else's dad.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Ryan's business must be going well. Didn't think about that at all the first time I watched this. I was just like, whatever, she's got money now.
Yep, exactly.
Also, Carson has been missing since he told her to not be with Ace.
Yes. Scott Wolf directed this episode.
Oh.
And so it makes sense that he's not in this one.
Sure.
But I'm sure they already had either they wrote it with that in mind or whatever.
I feel like he'll be back in the next one. The main characters don't usually miss more than two in a row.
So we find out each mouth grew 3 teeth with symbols, and there are only 3 different symbols in total. How are you referring to George's dad?
Papa Fan.
Okay.
Because it's Elwin, right?
Edwin. And Dr. Chen.
I didn't even catch Edwin until near the end of the episode, so my notes, I'll say Papa Fan.
Okay.
I write N-A for Nancy, A for Ace, and then I fully wrote out Papa Fan every time. P-F, I would have got confused.
So Papa Fan said that he has seen a secret room with artifacts deemed too disturbing for the public at Clifton University. And he swears that he saw this trio of teeth and skulls with symbols just like those. And he says it's the scariest place he's ever been.
And if there's those same symbols from that long ago, there must be a bigger force that caused all these deaths.
Yeah, it's bigger than just the 8 bodies.
And he says that, luckily, he can get Nancy and George into the room as a former adjunct. That's convenient.
Yeah.
So George, he continues his journey with them.
George is like, okay, let's go break into this secret scary room where all the terrifying teeth heads are.
Looking mortified. She's got great faces through all this. Nancy and George leave with Papa Fan, heading for the university.
Meanwhile, Nick is bringing an apple pie bribe to Officer Joyce.
A pibe.
Again, saying there's something wrong with the water. And she's like, if you don't have hard evidence, there's nothing I can do. Also, next time, bring me cherry pie.
She was doing a lot this scene. She said, yeah, you get 5 minutes. Then gave him literally one sentence, one try, shot it down immediately, took the pie, and complained about the flavor. I was like, Joyce.
Yeah, she is getting no more pipes from me.
Right. It's like, if I bring you a cherry one, will I actually get more than one sentence?
Yeah, probably not. So he calls Ace for help. They meet at his trunk with his Passover box.
It was so cute. He said his mom's decorates like the Passover table with all these different like
the 10 plagues of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. I love the little rubber frog.
Yes, I love that. And his idea is they need to turn the water red. And he was like, well, this isn't big enough to do that. And he was like, no, we would need an act of God. Or short of that, we need an act of Bess.
Wow, like, so
that's pretty powerful.
Bess is being super helpful. Mm-hmm. Again.
Again.
They would all be useless without her.
They really would.
Going over to the university, we get a shot of Nancy looking slowly at a picture of a man. So clearly that's going to come back. They're walking through the halls. They trespass through a door they're not supposed to go in. And Nancy does some actual detective work looking at a 4-digit keypad lock.
Yeah, she immediately like looks to the side and is like, okay, well, it's got a 4-number lock and these are the 4 numbers and this one's the heaviest, this one's the lightest, so this is blah, blah.
So, I love that. That makes sense. The first one you push is the one you're going to be touching the longest because that's just how people type things. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I love
and then like the oil on the fingers and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, someone's coming. So George and her dad go to talk to a woman who I wrote is super excited that they are Asian because they want to raise their diversity admissions.
That woman had 3 to 4 lines and 2 of them were about diversity. I was this is awkward.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you caught that too. And yeah, George is pretending to be a prospective student. And while we know that her dad annoys her, she works really well with him quickly on the fly.
Yeah.
It was cute and sad knowing the story that they were basically acting like father and daughter. Mm-hmm. They are father and daughter, but they never had the relationship that they're now acting to be the diversion.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad. A lot to unpack there.
Right. Yeah, because it's not like he went with her on actual university visits.
Right. They are doing their distraction there, and Nancy is inside the scary room and turns on her flashlight, and there's a skeleton right there in her face.
Did you jump?
I did not jump.
I did not either, but it was a bit of a, ooh, little gross.
Mm-hmm. There's uber creepy jars of God knows what. She finds the skulls, and good thing she has a little dentist mirror. Do you think that Dr. Chen was just carrying that around? She took it from him?
Probably.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Like he's got a pen in a pocket and a little dentist mirror in a pocket. This part annoyed me. I was not able to suspend my disbelief of how Nancy was just talking to herself, explaining to the audience. I wish she had been like had her phone out and was recording what she was saying.
Oh, that would have been good.
Because then she can do what she's doing for us, but there's a reason the story for her to be doing it. Because it was her just straight up talking. I'm like, you're sneaking around. You need to be quiet. But she was just reading us the things that were written down and then
and
adding commentary.
Like, yeah, exactly what was, like, we could read what there was.
It was. Yeah. It wasn't a great TV moment. Like, it wasn't a great production moment. And I really feel like all you'd have to do to make it stronger would just have her phone out where she was recording it.
Recording or be on, like, speakerphone with Bess or something.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways.
But we find out that the skulls were unearthed in Cardiff, Wales, dated to the 1500s. So that was a long time ago.
500 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And Papa F, outside the door, tells George that they make a good team. She does not agree. They awkwardly, like, lean away from each other with their backs turned.
Yeah, she's commenting about him having been a carefree teenager with no responsibilities at all.
Because she is a teenager with all the responsibilities of more or less raising 3 younger sisters because her mom was a mess and he was not around.
Yeah.
Sad.
And he tells her that you may or may not believe me, but I thought about you all the time. And she's like, don't worry. My life is just fine. I'm going to get a scholarship. I'm going to get my GD and then I'm going to become a lawyer.
We're good. Nancy's in there looking at the teeth and she sees something called a roundel, and it's missing, but the little info card and the little holder are there. And the roundel was a tool for revealing what killed them.
That creepy dude grabs her, saying you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, he's like real pissed. He's very committed to his job.
Mm-hmm. She makes up a story, like the professor, she saw the picture that she stared at on the way in. She's like, oh, I'm the TA for Professor Barak. Hey, where can I find the roundel? And the guy like answers her question.
Yeah, and then kicks her out. He's like, there is, you know, he doesn't have TAs, But I liked that use of her photographic memory.
Yeah.
So in this little scene, we got, you know, the keypad detecting and her photographic memory back. So it was good to see her doing what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And he reveals that the roundel was stolen during a break-in 10 years ago. And when he's like, I'm calling security, she just bolts and is running off.
Why did he answer her first?
Right.
It was not the best scene of the show.
And then George and her dad, he keeps saying that he wants to earn her forgiveness. And Nancy shows up and she's like, okay, we got to go. There's an artifact. We need to track down an anonymous thief. And then we have to get it back. And then security shows. And he's like, okay, you need to run faster. It's like, Nancy, you stopped here.
Right? Like, why isn't she like, we got to go, run, and then fill them in later?
Yeah.
Mess. She was a mess. Over at Icarus Hall, we have Ace working at Nancy's desk, which is symbolically said. And Papa Fan offers to stay. George thanks him and more or less is like, nope, we don't need you anymore for the second time of the episode.
Yeah, I wrote she politely tells him to GTFO.
Politely.
Ace says to Nancy, he's like, is this what you want for us to just act like colleagues?
I felt the cold.
Mm-hmm. But I also think it's fair. She's like, I need to have a starting place. Like, that's completely legit, I think.
I thought it was legit of both of them. Like, I totally got where he was coming from. But yeah, I agree. Like, they're going to have to work together.
You need to refine how you're going to have a relationship. Like, start at the beginning.
And civil is better than pretending everything's fine or not talking to each other.
Yeah.
So he had a human reaction, but I think what she's doing made sense.
Yes. He's doing his hacking skills, and the missing roundel was sold in 2010, and he has, like, the number of the person who bought it and all that.
Yeah, and Nancy's first thought is a phone number. Nancy, you're too smart for that. Granted, I had the subtitles on, and I was able to count the number of digits, but it was 8. So a phone number would be 10 or 7, and I was like, Nancy, you know that's not a phone number. But she says it, and then she's like, or a prison number. So she's like going through her head what it could be.
She's also right there next to Ace, and I'm sure that is occupying so much of her brain space that she isn't thinking clearly.
Sure, sure, sure.
I love her line, we need Indiana Jones relics, which I realize is just Indiana Jones.
To your point that she's distracted.
Yeah. And so Ace puts together a list of barcodes and code names. All of them are out of their price range except for Okapi H78.
I was real confused at this point. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, the whole relic trader storyline, I tried.
I got real confused. So for whatever reason, we were both having issues with live TV.
Yes, it was sound. Like, it was a little slow.
So you didn't have this issue, but my sound kept dropping out. Oh. So there would be like complete lines that I didn't get. So I was really confused the first time I watched this one.
Was it better when you watched it on the app the next day?
Yes.
That's good.
But yeah, so Okapi H78 is local. Nancy's a little worried because they haven't exactly made friends in the relic trade between Mr. Bobsey last season with Ace and the classes last season and this season.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want personal vendettas getting in the way, which is hilarious when it's Ace and Nancy talking mm-hmm. about not wanting personal things to get in the way when yep. literally that's what's happening with their personal lives.
Yep. They decide they need a decoy.
Luckily, Papa Fan is there. No one knows who he is.
So he just goes ahead and we see him sitting on the bench waiting to meet someone. I'm like, this poor man is going to die. Like, who knows who they're going to meet?
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess they don't care.
I think to an extent, Nancy doesn't. She wants to do what she needs to do. He's willing to do anything for George. And then probably George doesn't understand the scope of it or isn't letting herself see it. But I also like, I mean, this felt also like detective work because he's there and then Nancy's in the bushes with her binoculars watching. And it's Ryan.
Wait, I'm sorry. I really like the line where Nancy's like, it's really cool of him to do this. And George is like, it's not cool for all those kids whose teeth aren't being filled.
That was a good line.
But yeah, it's Ryan. I was not surprised.
No, but I didn't know why Nancy was so pissed.
She got real mad. And I was like, y'all do shady stuff all the time. Why are you mad that he's selling relics? Is she worried about him, like, getting in danger?
I think that has to be the root of it.
Doing something illegal.
But he also, I mean, first season Ryan was a terrible person. Like, maybe she's worried about...
sleeping with a teenager.
Yeah, sleeping with a teenager. Like, when he learned that Owen's life was in danger, he was, like, debating...
Whose life? Just kidding.
He was, like, debating, like, oh, well, would it be better if this business guy was out of my way? Mm-hmm. Like, so I could see that she would have a real fear of the Hudson coming back to Ryan and all that.
That makes sense. Him backtracking in his development.
Yeah. And then Ryan's like, sorry, that's my daughter. I got to go to this... For all he knows, complete stranger. He doesn't know that's George's dad.
That's true.
And then George's dad is like, that was Nancy's dad? He must have been 18 when he had her.
George's face.
She's like, yeah, you want to start a club?
So rude.
And he tells her, you don't have to let me into your life, but I won't stop offering to let you into mine.
Aww.
And I really like the, I know you don't need anyone to take you up the mountain, but maybe you'll realize it's okay to let someone carry your backpack for part of the trek.
Yeah.
That was very sweet.
Hallmark card moment.
Yeah. Very clear that he's thought about saying these things before, if he can come up with all these analogies.
Mm-hmm. Ryan catches up to Nancy and yeah, she's mad. And he's like, I became a relic trader after the glasses sabotaged my car. And I was like, I don't get what the big deal is here, but.
Okay, well, also maybe I just don't know things, but how is he making money? Like, what is he doing? Because he said that he tracked back every piece of that lot that the glasses stole from Bess. So was
he
taking
then
it?
Sell it to the Historical Society?
Well, they have no money.
It was unclear.
Yeah.
A lot
so
of this
maybe
episode.
He's getting like other stuff like. You know, my husband will buy a bunch of comic books and he'll keep what he wants for himself and sell the rest. Like, maybe that's like that with the relics.
It's possible.
But then that's dangerous. Who are you giving that stuff out to?
Right. You don't want to be giving it to evil people with evil intentions.
But he already has a lead to who has a roundel. So that's good.
So Nancy's going to let him help because Nancy, while she cares about people, cares about getting stuff done more.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of getting stuff done, we go to Bess, along with Nick and Ace, over in the woods. And she's going to do the spell to turn the water red. I like the callback that this was part of the Women in White's initiation ritual. Mm-hmm. And that it's not actually blood, because that would be concerning.
That would be very gross. And would actually ruin the water even further.
Yeah.
And the fish and all that. Yeah, no. She is trying to get both of them to come to the fundraiser for singles night. Nick's like... No, I'm still with Jade, which was a lovely line to let us know what's going on with that. Hopefully we see that person again, and that's not all that was. And Ace is like, absolutely not.
Final answer. They talk about how they're worried that this isn't going to last long enough to affect the whole town's water. But Bess kills it. The water's red. And then she goes a step away and freaks out because she thought she stepped on another tooth.
I was worried, like, her holding this little bottle and doing three drops. I was so worried she was going to drop the whole bottle in and something was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't worry about that with Bess.
She's made mistakes before.
That's true.
But
what if she thought she stepped on the tooth while she was dropping it?
Throws the whole thing.
Yeah.
We go over to the police station. Where Joyce is being ambushed by angry people with jars of red water. That happened quickly.
It happened real quickly.
I mean, we know it could be the next day. Who knows? But it happened very quickly.
And the guy from the city council meeting that was like going on and on about the occult, he was back there and he was yelling that, oh, this is the work of the occult.
Got that too.
Yeah.
Lovely to see how much he pops up throughout the season. And Joyce calls Nick and she's like, so you got your wish, but I'm watching you now because this was very convenient. I like the little smile he had at the end. He was just happy that he got his way.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually threatened by Joyce. I think it was more of just that she had to say that. I don't think she's actually going to. I don't know.
I think we are gearing up to making the Drew crew the enemy of the town. That Nick is now behind this water thing. Bess is already on Chief Lovett's radar.
Yeah. Not the town, because the basic town people love all of them, but like the authority
of
the town.
But
oh, you think so?
I mean, this dude loves Nick right now, but he's going on and on about the occult. Yeah. People are afraid of what they don't know about because you aren't allowed to learn about it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. There'll be a split. I think there will be some people on their side.
I think Coroner Connor will be on their side. Hopefully Lily, too.
Right. He doesn't have a lot of choice.
Oh, that was the other thing. The bench that George's dad was sitting on to wait to meet with George was for Lily's garden shop.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was really cute.
I didn't even see that. That is cute. We go over to Ryan and Nancy, where he is telling her that the current roundel holder agrees to meet. Bum, bum, bum.
Red Lynx 789.
Should we go ahead and take a break here, Sarah?
Let's go ahead and take a break. We will be right back.
We are back, and we are at singles night.
Whoop, whoop.
This scene was a lot of fun, but a lot's got to happen in it.
A lot happened in it. Yeah, Bess is killing it. The place is popping. Bess gave Ryan some relics that he can use to trade because everyone's chipping in to get this taken care of.
Nancy looks so pretty. I liked her straight hair.
She did look really pretty, yeah.
I'm glad she doesn't always have her hair straightened like that, but I thought it was cute for the scene.
Mm-hmm. George comes in and they wish Bess luck to go over and talk to her.
She is pissed.
Bess tells George, like, a year after tonight, you're going to have enough for spring and fall tuition, and I'm a great friend, and you can get mad later. Go help Edwin behind the bar.
She literally said, long story short, I'm a great friend. I'm stealing that. I'm using that anytime I do something that's, like, kind of good, kind of bad. I apologize in advance.
Yep.
So George goes and helps Edwin behind the bar. We find out that he did some bartending in his day, and I expected her to resist here, but instead she just rolls up her sleeves and dives right in. She's like, I'll do sodas and seltzers or whatever, you do the alcohol.
Yeah, he's starting to say, like, hey, if I'm overstepping, and she embraces him there.
Which he is. Sir, you should have gone home at this point.
I mean, it's like he already knows Bess because of the FanFan website.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're daughter's best friend asked you to do something for your daughter, like, I get it,
and you're wanting to be close to your daughter, it completely makes sense. But just him saying, if I'm overstepping, I'm like, yeah, you are.
You are. And I wonder if Bess also had that in her plans of, like, meddling, like, I want to get them reconnected.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
she is that person.
Yeah,
which is why I love her.
So over with Nancy and Ryan, Nancy is kind of doubting the location to meet with Red. And he's like, no, this place is perfect because she wanted it to be allowed. She wants to be able to pass by unnoticed. And he gives his trade secret of tying a knot in a straw. And he's so proud of it. Guarantee you by the end of the season, Nancy's going to steal that secret.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to pose as Okapi 7-8.
Oh, probably. He's so goofy with this straw.
But he's, like, so proud of himself.
Yeah. Then we have Bess explaining how the speed dating is going to work. You're going to get 2 minutes per person and then an extra 5 minutes for $19.99. Damn, that's expensive.
Yeah, I would rather during the 2 minutes just, like, give my number and be like, okay, let's meet in the parking lot and talk for free.
I don't think that goes with the spirit of a fundraiser, but yes, 100%. No. I was like, go in the parking lot to do what, Sarah?
Just to talk for free. That sounds very shady. I know. Nancy is just watching, saying, oh, she's got to be on the lookout for Ryan. And Bess is like, oh, you'll have better luck in there. And literally pushes her in.
with Nancy resisting. These short little dates, we get interspersed of Ryan with his straw trying to find the person. Cut to Bess dinging a bell, looking so excited and pleased with herself. Cut to Nancy on the worst first dates ever.
Oh, man.
Have you ever done speed dating?
I have not, no. It stresses me out.
I think I would love it. I'm happily married, blah, blah, blah. But I think the concept of, like, quickly talk to someone and move on. I mean, I kind of like to do that in my everyday life. Like, I think it would be really fun. And these random guys, it was great. We had her calling someone by the wrong name. We had her drink was, like, empty in each one. I wish the glasses had accumulated and she'd just gotten more and more drunk. But yeah.
Yeah. she says to one guy, catch you in the next round. He goes, I don't think so.
And the first thing, someone mentioned like Paris.
Yeah.
And that was cute because it was sad, tragic, obviously, what right, I mean by right. cute. And her and Ace had talked about like, what if we went to Paris together, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, Paris, funny you mentioned that. And that's when her drinks go down, down, down. Craig. So it was funny.
But one meeting does go well because Red Link 789 shows up to talk to Ryan.
Did you catch that right before she sits down? Ryan's like watching Nancy with concern.
No, I didn't see that.
And that's how I caught it. He was turned. So it went directly from the way it was shot. It went from Nancy being told by the guy that she was not going to get a second round with him. And then it went to Ryan and his body was turned and he was watching something and he looked concerned. So I took it that he was watching Nancy.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's cute.
That is cute. Also, what a terrible situation.
What the whole
thing? To be there with your kid or to be the kid there with your dad, both of you on speed dating dates and just tragically crashing and burning.
Yeah, it does not sound like a fun time for anyone but Bess. All right, but yeah, so Red sits down, and of course she's in a red dress.
Ryan offers her divining rods, circa 1880, made of willow wood, or anything else she might want, just in order to get the roundel.
This makes her curious as to why he wants the roundel. He's like, don't worry about that, I got the goods.
She is very intrigued until he mentions the glasses and she's like, deals off. If you have business with Jonas and Shelby, you do not have it with me.
And we see this horrifying scar on her back.
Yeah, in the shape of a scarab. And he's like, okay, hold up. I hate them. They must love that scarab because they got me with that too. They totaled my car. And maybe if you and I team up, maybe we can take them down a notch or six or all of them.
Yeah.
She is very interested in that. I feel like she wants to kill them. I feel like that's going to be tempting.
Probably.
To Ryan.
Probably.
And that could be... I could see if he tries to kill people that Nancy would not be very happy with dad number two.
Yeah. But also, is this... So this is a potential love interest for him now, I feel.
It seems like it.
And he hasn't had one since George, has he?
Well, no, because his wife died in the first one. No, he did. The woman at the end of the Hudson season. Season two. There was a Valentina someone.
Yeah, that wasn't a big...
Well, no, because she had to be run off.
Right. Well, so it'd be interesting if that happens, especially if this woman wants to kill people.
Ryan sends money to her, sight unseen. Like, okay, I trust that you will give me the roundel. And she leans in, kisses his cheek, and slips the roundel in his pocket.
Yep. So he got what he wanted.
Yeah. He is good at his job.
Even if it's shady McBoots. The party is over and the claw is closed. I laughed when George changed the claw sign from open to closed just because so many times we see it be closed for inventory or closed mm-hmm. for whatever. So just closing it naturally made me laugh, which is probably not good, but whatever.
She actually looked happy.
Yeah, because Bess had a good idea.
She did. And she pulled it together fast.
Are we surprised?
No. I'm a little surprised that many people showed up. That fast.
It's like all of Horseshoe Bay.
Although I wonder if like Bess hacked into Nick's socials.
Oh, yeah.
And like advertise it there.
100%. So Bess ends up giving the two fans space, making sure no one's lingering in the corner or if you're Sarah out in the parking lot.
Whatever. I want to save $20. Anyways, he wants to contribute to her fund. She says no. Seriously, you've done so much for us today. Like, you've surpassed expectations. And as he's walking to the door, she takes a little step. She's like, but I would take a family discount on a teeth cleaning.
Yeah.
I need to do once a year. And he's like, well, actually, it's twice a year.
That's so cute, though, that she's finally, like, she's finally willing to have him in her life in some capacity.
Yeah.
Granted, it'll be a capacity that gives her physical pain.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to.
I mean, teeth cleaning's awkward.
Yeah, she'll probably rethink it. She'll probably cancel the appointment.
Probably.
But before he leaves, he's like, okay, please take this, hands her an envelope, and he tells her to share whatever she can't use.
The coupons. He's like, these are coupons for dentistry. I'm like, George, how stupid are you? Mm-hmm. So she opens it in front of him, and he just stands there. I was like, run, run.
Yeah.
Because it is a check for $30,000.
Yeah. And she's like, no. And he's like, this isn't restitution. I'm giving this to you because I'm proud of you.
Duh. And yeah, they leave on good terms. And Nancy is telling Ryan not to get too good at relic trading. If he goes to the dark side, she will have to catch him. And you are thinking that's foreshadowing.
If you can. He's like all playful.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Ryan, she's serious.
I will take your ass down.
Yeah. She will take you to jail. Don't you worry, Dad, too.
Nick calls, lets them all know the water has been stored, so they're safe from black veins for now. So what? Now all the water's just in a big jug somewhere? A reservoir?
Water tower?
Water tower.
I guess so. Ace is texting Nick, not texting Nancy, that Connor is posting Help Wanted ads because we're approaching the 9 p.m. deadline.
Connor is hilarious.
Yeah. That is very funny.
But Ace is worried, and Nancy's like, okay, well, we'll get to that. And then she starts playing with the round doll. I'm like, you are juggling. You won't risk Ace's life, but you'll risk his job.
Yeah. I'm sure part of it's punishment. But also, she needs to get the job done.
But they have the round doll now. She can go return the teeth and come back and do the round doll at 9:02.
It's true. She could just go and finish it there at the morgue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure Coroner Connor would be fine with that. Yeah, so Nancy is putting the symbols in, and there's a puff of smoke, and then there's nothing. And Bess is, like, trying to be positive. She's like, well, it is 500 years old. Maybe it needs, you know, a little time. And George is like, no. She sold us a lemon. And Bess is like, you're right. Her hair was really shiny. You can never trust people with shiny hair.
And she got cut off. Like, they just ignore her and just talk over the end of that sentence, which I thought was hilarious.
And then Nancy goes all depressed, no leads, no clues, just confusing and unfinished, just like everything else in life. And I'm like, oh, Nancy.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Of course you do.
What does that mean? Bess says that Lisa's wasn't a total loss. You got some numbers, Nancy. How did Nancy get any numbers acted that way? There are some desperate men in Horseshoe Bay.
Has to be a lie, right?
Or you're required to give your number.
And Bess did some magic.
Right.
So then we go to Bess and George in the back.
Just like I wanted. Yesterday. Last week, I was talking about wanting scenes with them. So I was really, really happy to get a moment of their friendship. Because I feel like they started the show pretty strong and we haven't seen a lot of them together, just them.
And Bess is being the perfect friend here. Telling George what she needs to hear. Like, you are being given a world of opportunity you've never had before. You know, need to try to make the most of it. And George jokingly calls her a pain in the ass.
It's accurate.
Yeah. And Bess is like, or am I unstoppably determined?
And she needs to use that trait of hers, being unstoppably determined, to defend the historical society. She's going to get serious, which is funny because she just needed like one episode to like ground herself. Mm-hmm. And was still super helpful through the whole thing.
Yeah. She needed to see like how much she could get done.
Yes.
To know she could do it too. Yeah. George decides to go to the bank and set her sisters up with their own college funds with that check.
Which is not what the money was for.
Well, he said, share what you don't use.
Oh, okay.
So I think he knew that she would do that.
That's good. I thought that that was just a decoy to make her think it was actually coupons, but that makes a lot of sense.
I'm sure that she is like stuffing away money like to put towards her college funds.
Oh, for sure.
And so this opens up her to do more for herself.
And then they hug.
And then they smell smoke.
Yep. And the roundel is shaking and smoking and the paper symbols are on fire. This is a very dramatic cut to a commercial. I liked it.
And then back from the commercial and it's super awkward. Even though Nancy makes it by the deadline, Ace is giving her sass.
This scene gave me so much life. Like, on it, I'll be completely honest. I was not loving this episode. This is like one of the weaker episodes of the season for me so far. And we get to this scene and I'm like, this is what I wanted. Like I thought the speed dating was cute. Mm-hmm. And then this was like the real moment of the episode.
Yeah.
Where they're mad at each other. They're fighting like exes and they're not exes. I thought they both gave good performances here.
I think they did too. Both of them, like, it's hard to pick a side because they're both right. They're both wrong.
Yep. It's almost like 20-year-old relationship people. Mm-hmm. Ace says, see you next time you need something. And I said, dang, they're going to fight. Yeah.
I love how he will sometimes like say, like he has to think through what he's going to say before he says it to her. Like, is this really worth saying? Like, what? I know this is going to start something.
And it's Nancy. So she's going to come back with something.
Oh, yeah.
So are you prepared for whatever that's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're not the only one who lost the love of their life here. She swings back. I was ready to keep trying and you walked away.
And he is like, I'm sick of being punished for wanting us to be alive.
Oh, my heart.
Real love isn't dying for each other. I think I sent you. Someone tweeted that it makes sense that Nancy would think that real love is dying for each other because her mom, Kate Drew, she died. And that was the love of Carson's life. Lucy died. That was the love of Ryan's life. And so death and love has become very intertwined for her, whereas Ace's dad left Grant's mom in order to keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's his example of love.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I'm glad that you brought that up. Because Ace says love is wanting the other person to be happy without you. So they're both coming from their own experiences. And I think, obviously, we're all shaped by people who raised us and people we've been around. But it's also good to take those things and then turn them into your own, like add stuff to come up with your own idea of love or your own idea of how the world works. You take examples from other people and apply it to what does and doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And they're not quite there yet.
No, definitely not.
She says that she does want him to be happy. And a moment I really liked. The scene ends with Nancy saying ditto to something sweet that Ace said. And I really liked that because in the movie Ghost, which I think we've discussed, you having never watched, Sarah.
It's true.
The main character in Ghost would never say, I love you. They would always say ditto. And they're like standing here in a morgue. So it's making me think about dead people. And it was cute.
Yeah.
The word ditto, if you've seen that movie, has a lot of indications of just like implying things that you can't say yourself. So you're just saying ditto to repeat the other person.
I do like that. That's good. All right. And then we cut over to Nick, Bess, and George in the office putting out the fires. Bess doesn't even know what to do, which means it's got to be serious.
I think she's also tapped out at this point because she's been doing a lot.
And then Nick picks up the roundel.
With his bare hands. That could explode.
Yeah. But it pops open and it's a compass. So that was what needed to be done. So this is definitely like last episode was Nick re-becoming the Nick that we knew. And now he is just full-fledged going through it, picking up, shaking, vibrating roundels and stuff.
And they are on the phone with Nancy and Ace. And they say that the roundel is pointing north to Dunlap Beach. So the Drew crew all meets up and they're heading there. And they're in the woods. That does not look like a beach to me.
No, it doesn't.
It's just called beach. But they're in the woods again, and they don't hear anything because birds stop making noise when there's a predator. This was terrifying.
Yep.
You want to describe what we see?
The compass arrow locks, and then we see this white creature standing up. It doesn't have eyes. It has a creepy Leviathan mouth. It, like, snaps its bones into place, screams at them, and then does a yoga bridge pose and scuttles away.
A yoga bridge pose. All right. So what do you think of the episode, Sarah?
Oh,
sorry.
So credited in the credits there, they called that thing a sin eater.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
super creepy.
Terrifying. What do you think about the episode?
I liked it.
I liked it by the end.
Like, yeah, I feel like it's got... We're making progress on finding out more about those eight bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the water was touched on. Everything's been like referenced. I thought it was a good moving the season along. I just wasn't super emotionally attached till the Nancy Ace fight, which needed to happen.
So at the end, they're in that V formation. All of them are in dark clothing except for Ace, who is wearing like a white or a khaki jacket, like very bright in the woods there.
Hmm.
Just like that. creepy crab walking thing.
Oh, yeah, he's the next to die.
Again? God.
No. I mean, maybe. Maybe. I'm standing by the one dies and the next one's born.
I think it makes sense.
I'll have to look at the actual math on it, but as long as the years aren't more than 30 apart, it could be
it.
So, all right, Sarah, so let's talk about MVPs. So I had a hard time with this episode because I'm really trying to not do the same people over and over again.
I am going to go out and say most helpful is George's dad.
Right?
Because he was able to bring pieces that they would not have gotten to themselves. Like, no way they would have thought to go to Clifton University to check out some super secret, like, haunted room or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna agree with you, because we haven't been doing any side characters yet. But I'm also going to throw out an honorable mention to Coroner Connor, because if he had just taken the teeth with him to lunch, that would have been a dead end.
Yeah.
So... And I also wanted to give him entertaining because he was so sassy.
Yeah.
For entertaining, at one point I had George because she had some really good lines in here. And I haven't really given her any MVPs this season. But I think it's got to be Nancy, because when I look at the episode, the parts I enjoyed was the speed dating and then her fight with Nick, or her fight with Ace at the end. Mm-hmm. And those were the two scenes that I had any kind of emotional response to, and so I was entertained by them, and she was in both of them.
Yeah.
So I think I got to give entertaining to Nancy again.
I think I got to give entertaining to Bess.
Ah, nice.
I think because she just came through doing her stuff and was just a great friend, being supportive and meddling in just the right ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's playing the long game with Ace and Nancy.
Unsubtly, but I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all. Okay, here's a prediction for the season. I think Bess is going to continue to look for a cure. And Bess is going to figure it out.
Oh, I like that.
And then once she's pretty confident it'll work, we'll bring them in on it. And then we'll have some big dramatic moment of, do they or don't they actually both want to try again? And who's going to be where? Because we've seen both of them be like, yes, let's do it. And both of them be like, no. And so I think it's going to be, where are they at when Bess is like, okay, I'm doing this, you guys. Mm-hmm. And maybe she'll even bring it to like Nick and George first and be like, okay, so I've been conspiring and I have this plan, but we need to get Nancy and Ace on board. Yeah. So I'm hoping that that's a future episode. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's kind of what I was thinking at the end of last season, is that Bess would figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next episode, Sarah?
It's called The Web of Yesterdays.
Oh, why are you making a grossed out face?
No, I'm just very, very afraid that means that this is going to be the spider episode.
The web of, and yeah,
it's 100%. Not that I'm going to be super duper anxious this entire episode, and then still we'll have to deal with it again.
Maybe I'll watch this one live and you don't, and then I can warn you like what act is coming in.
Yes.
Honestly, the sooner we get it over with, the sooner you don't have to worry about it. Well, no, because there could be multiple episodes.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No.
All right. That was an option. Thank you so much for listening. We are having a lot of fun with this season. We appreciate you all tuning in to hear our thoughts on the show we all love. Till next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
What is the perfect movie franchise? Does such a thing truly exist? The License to Watch podcast sets out to answer that age-old question. Join comedians Matt McGregor, Harris McCabe, and Colin Shaw as they dissect your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. Along for the ride is a different film industry guest for every episode. Listen as the boys play judge, jury, and executioner and decide which of your favorite movie franchises are worthy of a license to watch.